This episode of Rose Unplugged is made possible because of MyPillow. So I ask that you go to MyPillow, put in promo code ROSE, and you'll get great savings. And listen, I've got it all. I've got the pillows, the bed topper, the dog bed. My dog loves that dog bed. The Giza sheets. And best of all, and Christmas time is right around the corner, right? Those slippers. I love those slippers. They are so comfortable. It's like somebody's hugging my feet, and nobody really would want to. But listen, since no one wants to hug my feet, that's why I love my pillow slippers. They do the job. I mean, they are great. They're comfortable, and they make a wonderful Christmas gift. I gave it to everyone on my list last year, and they were really happy. My pillow, promo code ROSE.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Unencumbered by political correctness, undeterred in her mission to spread the truth, unafraid to be a true conservative, she's unapologetic, uncompromising, unwavering, and an undeniably powerful voice when we need it most.
This is my fight song.
This is Rose Unplugged.
My power's turned on.
Welcome to this episode of Rose Unplugged. I had to bring him back, Mark Morano, because guess what? You probably know this already, but all of those really great, elite, smart, better than us leaders from all over the world are now meeting in Davos, and they're talking about us and they're making plans for us. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Rose. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's talk about first some of the things that have been just, like, people are just going crazy over that we've heard. There's some really weird things. This is a flashback, though. Let me start with this, because you had this mentioned in one of your emails that you sent me, and also on climatedepot.com. But a UN IPCC chief, is it Pachauri, once joked about sending...
Pachauri, yes.
Okay. He once joked about sending climate skeptics to outer space. And he said, when leaders are unable to deal with us, they're just going to, they'll send us somewhere else, Mark. But you know what's interesting? I got to let it be known right now. If myself or others suddenly disappear, it had absolutely nothing to do with being a climate denier, but rather the rapture. I'm thinking if I'm gone, it wasn't aliens. It was nothing but me being raptured. Okay, Mark, that's the only time I'm going to disappear. I want to go on record. So, I mean, but
yeah, I got you. We've had many people disappear and then later try to go off. Yes, it's good to put that out ahead of time.
but you know, I mean, listen, I mean, it might sound silly what I'm saying, but Al Gore was saying something quite crazy himself just the other day. And he was talking about aliens. And of course, we'll say that he was just joking. But, oh, no, it wasn't Al Gore. Was it John Kerry? Who had the line?
Was John Kerry.
John Kerry, that's it.
He compared the Davos elite to extraterrestrials here to save the planet. And I made the point that, he's saying this in a way that's kind of like they're the anointed one, and they're able to see everything that others can't. And what's interesting about it is his fellow climate activist, Al Gore, there is a connection to extraterrestrial, because the Roswell incident in New Mexico happened July 1947, and I'm not making this up. Almost exactly 9 months later, Al Gore was born in late March 1948. So, I just put out the facts. I'm not going to draw a conclusion, but I leave that to your consideration.
I think it would explain a lot, quite frankly. I think it would. I love that. That's hilarious. But, John Kerry has had a lot to say there. Also, Al Gore, which, listen, I didn't think Al Gore could get any more boring or become any more monotone. But, dear God, I was listening to some of the breakaways from that and the sound bites. And it's just, he's still as boring as ever, maybe even more so.
Yeah, well, first of all, John Kerry, he literally at this World Economic Forum, and Al Gore was there, too. But John Kerry said, he touted the global elites as, quote, a select group of human beings.
Yes.
And then he also said something. The actually only accurate thing Kerry said is, if you said that to most people would think you're just a crazy tree-hugging lefty liberal. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, absolutely, they would. So at least he has an ounce of self-awareness. And then you mentioned Al Gore. He went on what I would only describe as an epic rant in Davos this week. He blamed climate change for xenophobia. He warned of millions of climate refugees, but not just millions, I'm sorry, billions. About one out of every eight person on the planet, he's warning, are going to be displaced. And due to what? The boiling of the oceans and the rain bombs that only Al Gore can apparently see. This is what, this is like Book of Revelations, biblical end times. This truly has become their secular religion.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And then when you hear others, like I was a little disappointed in what Joe Manchin had to say. It sounded like he was arguing against the First Amendment while he was at WEF.
It did. And I'm surprised. You know, again, I don't know what is going on. And Manchin, you know, I've been singing his praises for years. And I always like to say he was holding strong. He stood up to the climate agenda. He stood up to the green energy nonsense. He stood up to Biden. Until he didn't. And then he just caved. Now, some weird, I think what's happening with Joe Manchin, the fact that he would even entertain the World Economic Forum, he was reached out to by Bill Gates. And I don't know how well this is known. I mean, I've reported on it. Others have reported. But in order to get that vote for the Inflation Reduction Act in the key state, the senator from West Virginia, Manchin, Bill Gates apparently offered a massive bribe to bring in a lot of his business enterprises into the state of West Virginia and possibly even the businesses that benefit Manchin. So it's possible that he's had a continuing dialogue with Bill Gates, which then led to this, you know, newfound love of the World Economic Forum. That's my only explanation for Manchin.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that and quite frankly disappointed. And I'm like, come back here and say that, Joe. Say that here in the United States about the First Amendment. Honestly.
Yeah, is he running again? That's the other thing. You have to wonder if Manchin is even going to run again, or is this just some kind of weird, I don't know. I've no longer can figure him out. For him to say the problem we have is the open press system and all the platforms. I mean, he's literally lamenting America's birthright, Americans' birthright. And remember, big tech censorship is government censorship. The only way Davos, the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, any of this can operate, they need to declare a fabricated crisis, be it exaggerated COVID, be it insane climate emergency claims, and then they need to get everyone acting in unison. Well, when you act in unison, you can allow no dissent because it detracts from your goals. So I don't know how Joe Manchin has now become the chief stooge of the United States of America at this rally. I mean, he's outdoing even Kerry and Gore, but you expect that from Kerry and Gore. Yeah. I don't think anyone expected this from Manchin.
Not at all. It's so disappointing to you. And you mentioned, you know, I mean, listen, it's the First Amendment for a reason. I mean, it protects a speech, of course, as we know, in the assembly, getting together and the right to petition the government. But, you know, the press, the freedom of press, it protects that. And these founders, our founders, understood very well what it was like to go against, to speak against their government or their king. And in that case, that was the tyrant that ruled over them. And they suffered a great price if they did speak out. So that's there in that very First Amendment for a very good reason. And to think that like Manchin, you know, talking about how that's the problem that we have is open press and the system and basically all the platforms. He doesn't like all the platforms.
If the answer is we have too many freedoms and too much freedom of speech, then the question is pretty terrifying. And that's the problem here, is that the what they're proposing at the World Economic Forum, in a nutshell, this whole week, just so your listeners can understand this, the simplest explanation I can make, this is the Chinification of the world. Every country, the once free West, is now emulating openly their leaders, Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau, European prime ministers. They are emulating China's authoritarian one-party rule. That's what COVID brought, and that's what the Great Reset is all about. Declare an emergency, suspend democracy, impose unbelievable draconian regulations on people for their own good, allow no dissent, stifle free speech, and then keep that going, keep the endless crisis going. And that's why they're urging now for Joe Biden to declare a national climate emergency, which would give him 130 new executive government powers. This is all a way to bypass democracy. On the most consequential questions of liberty that we've faced, everything from church closures, school closures, business closures, stay-at-home orders, canceling of weddings, funerals, canceling of freedom of travel, canceling of energy, canceling of agriculture. They're intentionally collapsing all that. And we didn't vote on any of it. We didn't vote to ban gas-powered cars. Unelected bureaucrats decided it. We didn't vote to start banning meat eating, but unelected net zero goals bureaucrats are making this happen. We didn't vote to, again, cancel weddings, funerals, stay-at-home, churches. That was all done under executive order, bureaucratic edict during a time of crisis under emergency power. That's what they want to keep going. That's literally the best explanation for the Great Reset I can offer you.
Yeah, I mean, that, and well said. It really is. And when you think about, you know, just even the platforms, there's people that are considering that Twitter may, because Elon Musk has purchased Twitter, that it may be actually holding the WEF up because, you know, they don't want a platform that's equal for all people and that all people can weigh in on. They don't want that, although I'm sure they'll figure it out at some point and find a way to censor and shut us all up. But I just find it fascinating. They're not even hiding, but yet there was a lot of talk, Mark. Did you hear a talk about, Schwab was ill and not going to show up and some of the other big players weren't going to show up. Maybe that means people thought that it meant that they're not as interested in ruling the world as maybe they once were. I say, nah, they're still very interested. In fact, they are well on their way.
They are. I don't know why Soros didn't show up. I haven't got a good answer for that yet, but we'll see as this week unfolds. But it is interesting. Klaus Schwab last year told the delegates in the room, the future is built by us here in this room. So they literally, again, think they're the chosen ones. They are the visionaries. This year, Klaus Schwab opened the Davos meeting with a call to, quote, master the future, unquote. So not only as the United Nations says, we own the science, Klaus Schwab says, the future is built by us, and we are here to master the future. That's pretty frightening, megalomaniac, James
Absolutely.
Bond villain type
yeah.
stuff. But that's what we're witnessing, and it's real. It's not a Hollywood movie.
Also, they had the Pfizer CEO said that the world is unprepared for the next global health crisis. You know, and this cracks me up too, Mark, because frankly, I think we could have handled a health crisis much better when I consider COVID than we did without the world getting involved in how we handle a crisis. But I'm not sure I would agree with that, even if we didn't have COVID. Do you really think that we are unprepared for a global health crisis? Don't you think we could be working together if people were honest?
Prepared.
Yeah, go ahead.
Common sense prepares you for any global health crisis. And Anthony Fauci actually quite articulately a few years back, and you can watch this clip where he actually says it was in, I think it was interviewed by CBS News. This is years ago, maybe 5 to 10 years ago. And they asked him, what are you supposed to do? Should we wear masks? And he said, no, don't do any of that. We don't need anything high tech. Low tech solutions are the best way to handle any public health crisis. And what he talked about was getting sleep, eating well, vitamin supplements, exercise, washing your hands, and using your judgment. In other words, if you're a vulnerable person with comorbidities, you don't want to go to that concert or go out on a crap packed subway. But we're always prepared in that way. What you need to be afraid of are two things I'll mention. The World Health Organization is proposing a pandemic, global pandemic treaty modeled after the UN climate process. Joe Biden is all in on this. This UN pandemic, this WHO pandemic treaty would make it so any WHO scientist who's funded by Bill Gates can literally declare a public health emergency, and then you have a global instant response. What they are seeking is to have no dissent. They don't want a Sweden that refused to lock down and did better than all the other countries.
Right.
They don't want another Ron DeSantis in Florida or Kristi Noem in South Dakota. That's one thing. And the other thing to watch out here is Bill Gates has said repeatedly, if you want to know how to handle the next pandemic, look to what Australia did. Look to Australia. They are the model for the rest of the world. And what did Australia do? Perhaps the most authoritarian response, next to only China. They had internment camps. They had track and trace apps. They had forced people into these camps. They had military and police and helicopters forcing you off the beach if you were outside. It was an insane country and an insane response. But that is what the Davos crowd is embracing. Follow Australia.
Wow. Well, good point. Also, you know, just recently in the news, we're starting to read about central bank digital currency. They're calling it CBDC, I think. And they're talking about, I mean, this is for every currency, not just the dollar, but the euro, the yen, any other currency. And they're saying that, you know, that this is going to be something that's in our near future, maybe even closer than we once anticipated.
Yeah, well, just last year, 2022, President Biden literally issued the first United States executive order on central bank digital currency. The goal of a central bank digital currency is very simple. You can look to the Bank of England. According to the UK Telegraph, the goal is to make it so that governments can ensure that people only spend money on what they deem sensible. That's the actual quote. In other words, bureaucrats, corporate and government collusion will determine what's sensible for you to spend money on. They'll control. In other words, if you want to buy a hamburger, you want to buy more gas for your car, you want to spend more money keeping your house cooler or warm in the summer or warmer in the winter, that's going to all be considered violation. Mm-hmm. Also, if you have a violation on a violation on social media, a strike, if you will, for promoting disinformation or misinformation, you could literally be going to the grocery store and suddenly have your own access to your own money literally cut off because you have hate speech or something that's deemed misinformation. And until you remove it, you can't buy groceries. We saw this in real time in Canada. If you want to know what central bank digital currency is, look at what Canada did during the trucker strike in Ottawa with the COVID, against COVID regulations. Justin Trudeau picked up a phone, called the banks and said, what can we do? Let's declare them terrorists. I need you to cut off. And so truckers had access to their own money cut off. It wasn't like, oh, we're not going to give them goods and services. They couldn't access their bank account because of that. And that's the vision of a digital bank. The idea is they're going to have massive total control. And again, the public is asleep at the switch on all of this. When we have, again, U.S. senators, U.S. delegations showing up, and then you have people like Dan Crenshaw, an otherwise good conservative. Well, I don't know how good a conservative he is after the big, but anyway, Dan Crenshaw, part of House leadership, he will openly tell you that anyone worried about the World Economic Forum and Davos are just conspiracy nuts. He's done interviews where he just ridicules any criticism of it.
Wow. What is the, I was reading a little bit, too, about the ESGs, I'm not even sure I understand it, but I understand that I know that Republicans really don't like the idea, but companies like Bank of America, I mean, can you explain a little bit about ESGs? Because they did discuss this at Davos. That was one of the
topics. This is part of it. This is all, it's part of imposing the Chinese social credit system on the West.
Okay.
And the idea here is you are not a citizen with any. And you're not born with any rights. You have to earn your rights by adhering to what government policy and dictates say. So environmental and social governance, that's where the ESG is. In other words, this is coming directly from Davos. It's coming from BlackRock, Larry Fink. They want to actually impose this. Larry Fink is actually talking about, you know, imposing and enforcing it. This is his actual quotes. And what it does is if you have, say, a company, it's called stakeholder capitalism, instead of the old way where, hey, you'd make a profit, you get a return on investment for investors, that is no longer need apply, that old definition. The new one is your company meeting critical race theory standards, transgender ideology? Are you up on all the latest climate and energy restrictions that you need to follow and all the virtue signaling? If you fail to do that, they ensure that the banking system, remember, the banks and the government are colluding on this. They ensure that you don't get funding for your project, funding for your business. If you go to get a loan, you're going to either get no loan or much higher interest rates because your ESG score is low. Meanwhile, in the real world, countries like Sri Lanka had one of the highest ESG scores, and they went literally bankrupt and they overthrew the government because they didn't have food. And so that is what we're dealing with. The United States, a very low ESG score compared to these other, but we're rapidly working on improving ours. So the higher your score, it just means the more you are going down this path of Chinese social credit, great reset, and the further you're going away from everything we grew up in this country under with Rose.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad. And so I think they're on point right now. I think that they are on schedule, maybe even ahead of schedule. Is there anything else that you picked up on that you think is that we need to comment on in terms of what's happened so far, what has happened in...
Well, don't expect... Yeah, here's a couple things. The main thing here is what you're seeing from the stage in World Economic Forum is fascinating little snippet of what's happening. But the real power and the real collusion is happening off camera. And so what the reason this is such a big week is that Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, founded in 1971, and the author of The Great Reset, literally the book is called The Great Reset. And also I did my book, The Great Reset, yes. You know, critically analyzing the World Economic Forum, Great Reset. But they bring together royal family, government leaders, bureaucrats, corporate leaders, CEOs, and also the mid-level bureaucrats and presidents and prime ministers, academia, and all together in one place where they can meet all week long. And what you see on the cameras is only a small snippet of what's really going on. This is where they're planning on how to go forward, planning the next pandemic response, planning central bank digital currency, planning ESG. And here's the kicker. The reason this has such appeal, you think, oh, why can't Bill Gates just go meet with a governor? Well, it's very difficult. And the reason they like the Davos is because everything's off the books. There's no scrutiny. There's no lobbying regulations. You can have corporate meeting with government leaders. It's all off the books, all out of scrutiny. And that's why this has such great appeal, because you can actually get things done without the usual transparency required when it comes to actually, you know, if these companies wanted to meet with these world leaders and or, you know, the royal family, whoever it is. And you'll see this is one of the big things here. So just remember what you're seeing on stage, as insane as it is, much right. more insane stuff is happening that you're not seeing. The hidden hand.
Great. We're talking to Mark Morano, and he is, as he mentioned, the author of several really good books. He's got Green Fraud. He's got The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Also, the most recent, The Great Reset, which is really something that I think every home should have in their library, because this book, I mean, you really take us, I mean, you explain it all. You put it out there for us so that there is no doubt in anyone's mind that there is a great plan out there, and they are calling it the Great Reset. Mark, just one last question before we go. Why the hell do they want my gas stove? I am not, and can you imagine going to a restaurant that cooks on electric stovetops? I'm not going to that restaurant. I love to cook, and I love to bake, but I will not do it on electric. I will not.
Yeah, here's the key on this. The whole reason this is a controversy is not because some congressman introduced it and there were hearings and we had town halls and we had discussions and we had democracy. This was a metadata study that was done, and it was done by an environmental group that with ties to the UN climate envoy, the architect of the UN Paris Agreement, funded it. This is who was behind the study, pushing for carbon-free buildings. So then our unelected bureaucrat, the head of the Consumer Product Safety Commission in the United States, the son of former Democrat labor union Richard Trumka, who was a huge Democrat operative and donor, the son is now the unelected bureaucrat. He openly said, if gas stoves aren't safe and they're not supposed to, the Washington Post is saying how unsafe they are for the climate. They're trying to link it to childhood asthma. It's been called classic junk science by a statistician already. They are literally doing this without a vote. They're claiming they have this power through the federal bureaucracy to just ban gas stoves and all new housing. Now, not to be outdone, Governor Hochul in New York has announced that she wants to ban gas heaters, gas furnaces in all new construction to make houses more sustainable. So this is what the Great Reset is. It's just you wake up one day, and there's another edict from some unelected bureaucrat or some executive order that's taking away whether it's your job, your wedding, your funeral, your church attendance, your stay-at-home order, your vaccine ability, your mask mandate. It all just happens instantly. Ban on gas-powered cars, ban on meat, and hey, now a ban on gas. This is the world they want you to live in, and it's all for your own good. If you question it, you are an evil person who wants people dead. Yeah. You're a grandma killer. That's essentially the message here. But that's what they're doing. And they're going after it because they want everyone on electricity, because electrical grids, on an electrical grid, you're going to be much, if everything's electrified, in other words, and you're trying to get more solar and wind, you're going to have a situation where you can only create these shortages. And it's also very easy for government entities to be able to control the population. Even the electric car, they want a national charging grid, which the federal government will have the ability to just flip off. So next time we have to have a lockdown, you don't have to implore people, threaten them. You can just turn down off the national car charging grid, and people are going to be stuck, and you can cancel airline flights. That's the kind of power they want. That's the kind of power that they seek. And that's the kind of power they're getting. The American people are asleep at the wheel.
They really are. Please wake up out there. And you can start waking up by reading The Great Reset by Mark Morano. And also he's got other great books too, Green Fraud and Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change. Mark, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you, Rose. Appreciate it.
This episode of Rose Unplugged is made possible because of MyPillow. And so I ask that if you go to MyPillow, you put in promo code ROSE to get a great discount. They've got dog beds. I've got it. Tucker has a dog bed from MyPillow. Loves that thing. I mean, he shoots right for it. When I say bedtime, that's where he goes. MyPillows, the Giza sheets, every time I wash them and put them back on the bed, they are as though I never washed them and I just opened up the package. That's how great they are. The items there are well made, and you know what? They are distributed and manufactured by a good guy, Mike Lindell. MyPillow, promo code ROSE.